Ciao a tutti, benvenuti, welcome everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Fratelli di Rugby.
Mike, Woof. How are you doing? Good?
Good, I'm happy to see you today.
I'm pumped, man. I'm absolutely pumped today. So,
yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, obviously we've been messaging, but you know how excited I am about talking Italian rugby, even in bad days, let alone days like this. So,
we were here during the World Cup, Mike.
Yeah, people saw that. We still got that meme of Marcello somewhere. Bless him. But yeah, mate, it was a special day. Obviously, you know, there was plenty for us to improve on. But hey, like we take those with two hands, my friend.
Two, three, four hands.
That's it.
With the feet, with the hands, with the heart. I can say.
And that sort of epitomizes the game yesterday quite well. To be honest, it's sort of. You can draw parallels to those little things that you just said with the feet, with the heart, with the head.
That's with the guts, con le palle.
At times, no? Yeah, of course.
Hey, in Italian we say also cervello, cuore, coglioni.
I mean, hey, good.
The three most important things, no? All together. In our case, of course, female rugby, women's rugby is different. But we talk about men's rugby. In this scenario, we're going to have time and space to speak about the next Six Nations, Women's Six Nations, upcoming Six Nations. It's going to be interesting to see how we're going to develop with Nanni Raineri. But anyway, let's start saying welcome to Phantom, to Lucio, to Matteo, to Robert, to Claudio, to Simone, to everyone. And here we are starting. Okay, Mike.
Yeah. I want to quickly start on the contentious point so we can get out of the way, because I don't want to focus on that. Boom. You don't want to focus on that. We know what we're going to talk about, okay? So, listen, right? I'm going to start off and say the ref, you know, had little impact in the game. I thought he refereed really well. In fact, I put a tweet out. I think he was very, very good. Yesterday, and I think he flowed the game. I watched the game back today as well. You can always talk about, you know, certain points at the game, and that's always going to be the way we but ultimately, right, it wasn't the ref's fault the ball fell off the tee, right? It wasn't the ref's fault that he saw the ball grounded, because he asked the question on the ball grounded. And for me, he was exceptional throughout the match. So for me, anyway, let's draw a line in the sand and say, let's not talk about that. It had no impact in the game. And let's move forward. Like, there's a lot that we've got to talk about. And I think a couple of points in the game can't mar and almost like devalue the effort of the Italian team, because they like you said, they put it all out there, including Igolioni early doors. So that's Mama it for me.
What the first half. Yes, look, I'm going to add to this. I agree completely with you. I was a little bit more sarcastic for what I post on Twitter and when we spoke about the decision, referee decision. But why? Because it happens on one side, it happens to the other side. So let's talk about the game and what the... Our students, almost, not our players. Sometimes I think about our students understand the teacher, and not only the teacher, but also the books. So yeah. Let's think about how they grow into this homework.
Yeah, also, I think, I think there's probably one more bit that we have to acknowledge. And it segues quite nice in what you said, but the Midi-Olympic interview with Quesada, I think a lot of that was taken out of context. Obviously, you probably know.
Oh, the
know
one that
a little bit
came up before the game.
Right.
Okay.
Let's touch upon that as well, and we can put that to bed as well, and then we can just focus on everything that's good about the game that just went past. So, yeah. Otto, go ahead in this one.
Look, I think wasn't like the best option, or maybe it was the best clickbaiting for Akbirama putting those quotes by Quesada. So they got a lot of engagement on that. But at the end, I think what was wrong is the way also the Italian media, some of the medias in Italy, brought back all the information, because it was at the end what he said was the truth, I can say, in general, the truth. Yes, we are happy that this week went well on two out of three teams that play against each other, so under 20 and senior team. But is it true? Money wise, number wise, financial of the clubs, how much money they have, two leagues, not one. But in general, we can just argue about the Welsh situation, which is the more cracking. But if we still see at the Premiership rugby is still good, the quality is good, even if you have missing famous and historical teams and clubs and everything. So I think we have to be a little bit more, we slow down a little bit when we have, when in Italy they put out this article just bringing stuff like, oh, I save it, or I have it, I can show it. Just read the article, take about the way he speak, because he's always speaking this way. He's clever the way he speak, Quesada. It's
That's it.
honest, probably
That's
I
it.
like, and it's not something new, because even with Crowley that happened, they were
Yeah.
because it's true. It's not an excuse. That's the point for me. It's not an excuse. It's just a reality check that sometimes people
Yeah. Yeah, and also I think a lot of things can get lost in translation because obviously it's from French, so some people might have access to it, some people might not, and they were reliant on external sources which might have misinterpreted what was said. So anyway, for me, let's move on because I'm excited about the game. I just wanted to sort of acknowledge a couple of things that were brought up on my radar the past couple of like days, week, and I'm so excited to talk about this game, mate. So I will give you the first honors. General thoughts on the game, and then we'll sort of go into the like sort of intricate bits.
so it's been re real, man, like two half games, but for real, two half games, we can say. What there was a
Game two
big
halves.
defense, yeah, two phases. On the first side, we saw a lot of pressure, but also a little bit of good stuff from us that then we didn't capitalize in the proper way in the first half, in like around minute 16, minute 20, more or less. And but hey, we were pretty able to enjoy the defense, finding in the defensive effort energies, and I like that so much. We were speaking before the game about fighting spirit. We want to see that fighting spirit. If I want to steal something from other teams in the Six Nations, the closest one to us when we usually spoke is Wales. They always fight. It's something that I want to bring into our team. So
Doggedness.
that, yeah. So that is something that I want to highlight first, because that was defense, breathless. The first half was breathless for us. Talking about how to go against that.
Yeah, it was just dogged, wasn't it? And we talked about heart at the start. They left nothing out there in the first half. I think Laumeiro completed 13 tackles in the first half. You know,
Oh my God.
most teams would be happy with that in a match he did in the first half. He really led by example. He was the gladiator on the pitch, which I think was needed yesterday.
One
Because
thing, Mike, Lamaro is the most dominant tackle dominance of the whole Six Nations, with six dominant tackles.
boom,
Just
stat man.
now, yes, these are Opta stats,
Hey.
and the one that tackled more than everyone, second one is Tommy Reffel with 50. He tackled 64 times.
Yeah, he puts in a stint, but also like I think yesterday the reason I'm highlighting him as a bit of a gladiator was because there's some monsters up against him, right? Like some absolute behemoth of men running at him, and he was always the first to put his hand up and dive at their knees and try to stop them. So you know, I he epitomizes a lot of what was good yesterday, especially in the first half. So yeah, amazing. Amazing from our captain.
I like the way he was chatting with the kids just before the game, in the before just coming in when you have to bring the kids in the field. And you see him like jogging and then switching the face switch completely, like, okay, now it's time. But he's great. And in general, I love these two sevens that we have, right? When seven, even if he came as seven, a six, Giuliani, 7.5, right?
Yeah.
So I love that balance that we are showing there.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think, you know, I quite like Quesada's idea of the game management and Varney coming on. And, you know, we're going to go into the second half, but Varney coming on, like you said, Giuliani coming on, and we got some fantastic sort of game management off the bench as well. Ferrari coming on, doing really well. To be honest with you, it was a team performance yesterday, right? Like, everyone did their bit, everyone contributed. And that's all we can ask for as fans. Not everyone trying their absolute hardest. And I'm excited. What I will say, though, is France decided to play, let's say, the power game here, right? Like, with the big forwards running. And you saw at the start, like, the top carriers were Cyril Bay and Antonio in the first half. Like, halfway through the first half, they were absolutely trying to punish us and take minutes out of our legs. And you can quote me on this. I kept saying in the chat, everyone who was messaging me, you know, outside of the chat, we need to weather the storm because we are fitter than they are. We just need to weather the storm. We just need to make sure that whatever is going on now, we have the the resolve, the resilience to just get over it, and then, you know, we can play ball in the second half. And sort of what happened, which is always quite nice. But Otto, what were your thoughts on us?
On the first half, we're going to stay on the first half and then we're going to move on second. So first half, they had the smart move for the try. That was pretty smart how they moved. It looks like a lot of pre-organization, preset. First phase there, second phase there. We're going to clean up in that way. We're going to attack that folding of Italy. So they were able to create there. Then the try is the try because it was whistled by the ref. So we stay with that. But after that, man, they start just throwing balls here and there. A lot of inaccuracy. But even think about the way he was passing sometimes the ball, Peno, just throw this ball in the air like was for the kids. That long pass that went forward by Dante, the saving tackle by Menoncello on Boudouin at the beginning. So they tried, but they commit mistakes. We commit mistakes too.
Yeah,
even in the first half, but we were looking for some spaces and France give us some areas to attack. And then they were good when they put the hands. Sometimes we were slower and they were quick thinkers around the rack when we were trying to attack. Of course, the red card helps us to build confidence. But anyway, we scored those 3 points and they were really tired, man. That is, as you said, they look tired and worried. Most of everything, they looked worried. And then in the second half, we saw that. Of course, they're France is a huge, big, great team in general. So, of course, it's hard to win games even if they were 14 in the field. But it's a great game. But hey, the first half was good for us because we scratch out the fears of the Rugby World Cup, the ghost of the Rugby World Cup.
So, we squashed that. You're right. Yeah, absolutely squashed that.
And they feel that. They feel that. Like, okay, it's not the same Italy.
Yeah.
And the stadium was the same.
Yeah, and I think actually, you know, you're a coach. Let's talk about some of the areas that we can improve as well, because I've got a couple in mind from the get-go. One for me was we were doing really well to get our arms past the tackle, and we were getting the offloads, and the offloads weren't too bad, but there were low percentage offloads. And there was a couple of times where we were caught out, you know, on those short lines. But if the ball went to hand, they were going to make sort of 10, 15 yards, you know, off the second carry, off the offload. And it seemed like we were doing that a lot. So I don't know if that was something that was mandated by Quesada, and that's something that he identified as an opportunity for us to attack sort of the center channel, sort of Jalibus, you know, trying to tie them up and get on the outside.
I think a little bit the idea was there. I mean, try to compress them and move it out. Compress and move it out. Compress and move it out, because we were trying in the first half even also to play together Menoncello, Ioane on the same wing a couple of times on the left side of the field, so up in the... Right. So we went straight. We used to draw and pass the pullback pass from Favretto. The first, I think Favretti in the first minute of the game, let me check, he was the, like, in the first 25 minutes, we didn't have a lot of ball, but he did two pull pass from Favretto, one from Nicolò Cannone. And then we play off 10, off 9, but majority was to release the 10 and a lot of carries by Lamaro, but all in the central field. Of course, a couple of errors from us. Think about the attack from Lamaro, and the ball get ripped off during the tackle. And before that, when we were in the opposite part of the field, in their territory, we lost a couple of opportunity. But we were spotting some good. We did a great line out, Mike, in the first half, when we put Lamaro as a 9, and we put the 9 Pagelot in the line out, and then we attack with the hooker coming around, moving the ball inside and going in the gap between the first receiver and the tail. There is the inside dog leg, let's say, and when we attack in that channel, you can see there is an open space. Just if we move that ball one pass more, that was a try. So we spot good areas to attack, but then was maybe poor the decision, was better the defense to cover on those situation, but we had a couple of good areas.
Yeah, I think for those of you guys who didn't sort of tune in at the halftime, there was a couple of things. Like for me, it was just simple sort of simple inaccuracies, to be honest. Like, you know, presentation of the ball was absolutely key against a French team that were trying to slow everything down they possibly could. And there was a couple of times we were our own worst nightmare, you know, like our own worst enemy.
Oh, absolutely. Because
we weren't sort of presenting as cleanly as we were. But yeah, it seemed like, you said, it seemed like this was an effervescent. There was energy. There was, you know, excitement from the team itself, and you could see them growing, like, as the time went on, and we contained them for so long at 10-0. You just saw it in their eyes. There was belief. There was ferocity. There was everything that we wanted to see at the start. You know, you and I. For everyone else that's listening, I messaged Otto and I was like, Otto, what do you want to see? Like, what is it that you expect from this? And he was like, I expect everyone to fight every second. And I agree with you. There's literally nothing else that we can use to describe yesterday's game. They were fighting for everything.
So yeah, and is the only answer that you have sometimes. Is not winning the answer sometimes, but is to show the right attitude in the field and stay close to the other team. You can put pressure defending, even when you are passive. You can still be. You can put point question marks in the other team, because when you start smashing against a wall for 40 minutes almost, because they had that great opportunity that they showed, but then when they attack, they didn't do anything. It's something different. Mike, I'm going to quick show you one thing on, because I have the Longo match open. So this is the situation that I was saying to you before. Let's see. Look, this is that line out. Look how many players we have around here. So that was spotted, that area. We're talking about the Pagello attack. Look how many Italians, they know what we are going to do. And then they cover this situation. But we had a lot of space to be attacked. Look, the guy on the Menoncello on the right. Here, just a pass on the other side, and you have a 2-1, and you already can move the score for us. Because that's a potential situation for us. Good.
Really Pagello pops inside to Nicardera, right?
Yes.
He goes right, he should have gone the other side, though, shouldn't he? He should have gone... Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, I did see that in real time. I didn't see that angle, though. That angle, that's good.
They show one replay of that. I said, oh, look at that. There was the spot that there is the guy on the wing. So was pretty well planned, this game. Really well planned, this game. The way we... And one question, Mike.
Shoot.
You mentioned Pagello. Great, amazing. What was, who was your man of the match of the first half? Like the guy that showed you, like, whoa, okay. There was, like, everybody saying Menoncello, which makes sense because he's a prodigy for us. But in the first half, who showed you
the captain?
The captain.
He led by example. Like, I can't, like, if Lamara wasn't on the pitch there, I think we lose that game. I mean that, like, without an ounce of irony. You know, he was putting his face in places where he shouldn't have put his face, and he went to war, and the boys followed him. So for me, like, not even a shadow of a doubt. Obviously, I could point at Vincent as well, who did just as many tackles as Lamaro. And, you know, Vincent, to be fair, had a fantastic sort of debut start in the Six Nations and Test rugby. I can't believe, you know, he hasn't played at this level. He's just absolute golden boy of Italian rugby as well. But for me, without the captain there, without galvanizing the team, without, you know, the boys giving that 2% more because they're seeing him put his face where it shouldn't be, we lose that game.
We lose that game, that's true. But here we are, so that's bad. Let's read a couple of messages because there is a lot going on, and I like when the chat is active. Yeah, we spoke about Lamaro, so starting a little bit.
Garbisi is a great shout as well, to be honest.
Love Lamaro, man. Crash defensively solid. I think his carries let him down a little. Can draw defenders like Negri, Cannone, Parisse. Not like them, FV, but he's like... is the right hands, and he show, like I said, 60 for tackle, best tackler for numbers now in the Six Nations. So he does the job that you want from a 7, let's say. You want the carry from somebody else, maybe more than him, but he knows what he's doing. So
Inger,
Marin show his potential. Now we're gonna go through the second half. Christopher, welcome back. Scrum, we're bringing in guys the second half. I mean, yes, now we're gonna go there. I agree with everything you're saying, but we had two games we could have won that we lost. One game we lost, and the second one almost two games. Two games. And that is just excuse to say we don't belong in the Six Nations. No, we belong to the Six Nations until 2025, and then we can see what's going to happen with the new changes. Capozzo forward pass to see if it was really a forward pass. Came completely out, but the fact there are the hands. When you leave the pass, if the ball goes forward or not, then maybe again... looks like he's going properly. There's a touch from Fiku too, but even without winning, this, I think it's a good one. I do feel this is the performance we needed to build true self-belief in our capabilities, bigger than the Wales win. Kudos to Quezada for the team selection.
That's the important point. Alex, nail on the head, mate. So there's a lot of people who are talking, you know, a lot about selection. And I think both you and I said we weren't mad about the selection. We weren't angry about it.
No, we try to analyze what was going on and why pick some players there in that situation without preferences, right, except for Brax at 13, of course.
Well, yeah.
Jokes. It's FDR chat jokes about Brax.
Stop stoking the fire, my friend. but yeah, like for me, I think, right, candidly, there was a lot of selection questions, you know, just across the board. A lot of people, Menoncello, why is he there? A lot of people, you know, questioning why Brex was there after he had a bad game. A lot of people, you know, questioning Martin Pedrello starting. Just basically across the board. And Quezada has proven why he's in charge and everyone else isn't, right? Like, I think one of the boys said, he shows why he's the coach and we're the fans. He knows, he sees what these boys do. And we have to, as fans, trust the process, trust the coach, and trust sort of that he is making the right decisions based on what he's seeing. And he absolutely proved it. I said to you 2 weeks ago, we have to prove our salt now, right? Quezada now needs to prove who he is as a coach, where he is as a coach, as an international test coach. And you know, one that you can put against the tally. That was this beautiful game, beautiful selection, tactics were good. What more can we ask?
We should say La Salunga Quezada. He knows what he's doing. It's not like somebody put it there. Lucho, I know the boss of the stats, I can say. Vincent, tackled the exact number of tackles of Lamaro, 18 out of 20. Great job from both. Yeah, a lot of shots out here. Il Mulo, when we spoke about Il Mulo, is Nicotera, Fischetti, Lamaro, Garbisi, Brex. Favretto was a good choice in the end because of the line out, because it was another option there. Otherwise, it was a normal performance by him, but Quezada needed him for the touch.
I think that's fair. I think also, like, Favretto might be a little bit rusty, right? He hasn't really played too much, and then throwing him at test for rugby level. So it's a big ask, you know?
No, it's a lot, but at the end, everything paid this week, I think. We were lucky too on this side, Claudio. We spoke yesterday about this, so I'm not going to repeat myself about this. We spoke in Italian about situation. We love Italy all. Hey. Jabel Filippot.
Yes, Jabel.
Okay, it's a good coach. He knows what he's doing. That's why I'm just pointing this out. That's mean that even being like a younger coach for an international team like us, because he was assistants for France years ago, he showed like tactical wise everything was right. We were still there, and it's not my fault if Dante had but. Brex, so we have to take that. Sometimes goes against us, this time goes for us, so it's part of the game.
I don't even think you needed to explain that, to be honest. I think at the end of the day, it's their responsibility to sort out their discipline, and it's our responsibility to sort out ours. I don't think there's much luck involved if you see a player coming from 30 yards and you can't adjust. Like, the picture hasn't changed. So anyway, that aside, Luca put this out, right? So Luca, for those of you guys who are listening, he goes, a big difference between Crowley and Quezada is that the second one prepares the games in terms of who we have in front of us, trying to block their strengths and not only to focus on ourselves. So what Luca's saying is different horses for different courses. I am 100% of that mantra. You play for the team in front of you. You choose the best team for the team in front of you. You choose the best tactics for the team in front of you. Not necessarily the best team, not necessarily the best tactics. It's about who is in front of you. I think that's a fair comment. I also want to caveat that with Kieran started from next to nothing. Let's be honest. He was playing a lot of young players and he was trying to get continuity. He was trying to build a style of play. So he had to keep some uniformity, right? Whether that was going to change if you got another 4 years or not, I don't know. But that's the point, right?
Those are the big what if in general, no? That we're going to have. But we take what we have now. And
always.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. What I like about this is like keeping the evolution of the game, keeping some strengthness from what Crowley was doing in those couple of years, because if I think it was only 2 years, you see a lot of changes in what we were. Like today, I think Emanuele in the other chat in the Italian one said like, how important it is to work from respect and credibility to keep fighting, because now for me the focus seems to be like attacking without the ball, defense, organization, no pressure, not staying under pressure, even when the pressure comes because they have the ball, territory, and possession. So a lot of stuff goes in the right direction. Now we have to keep trusting this process, because the process, I think, they are all around what is this team more than the coaching staff. Young team, how many under 23s we had in this team?
12.
I mean, bonkers, no?
Absolutely insane. Absolutely. And also, we're going to keep topping them up as well. There's players that questionably, arguably, right, if you're looking at the people who argue with the selection, could have gone in and they're younger. You look at some of the under 20s and you start sort of looking at where they might slot in, and you look at some of, you know, the players that recently played under 20s who unfortunately haven't broken. You start looking, saying, okay, we've still got Rizzoli, we've still got Genovese, we've still got all these players that are doing really well. Jon, if he gets back fit and starts playing. We've got all of these players, and you start sort of picturing where these players might go. Ironically, I picked 3 props, but we tend to have some bad luck with props when it comes to tournaments. We seem to always get them injured. So,
man, right.
So the point is, right, we have an embarrassment of riches now, right? We can say that as Italian fans. We've got some depth, and now it's sort of Quesada's problem. It's a good problem, but it's his problem now to say, okay, where are these boys going to go? Which are players of interest? How is this team going to look in 3 years' time? Because obviously that's his tenure, and now he needs to start building it out. And I think we've got some interesting one, and actually I think Kips put out a really interesting question there.
Yeah, I was going there too. It's interesting, this. So
I'm going to ask you, because I have no idea, right? So
what we think about the second row? Roots hasn't missed an international match since late 2022. We're trying Zambo or Favretto at 5, or wait until the autumn? Wait until the summer, not the autumn. I think the summer is going to be really experiment to reach, like, to put everybody on the same page, the big huge group of the summer, to build up on 3 games during the fall, during the autumn. So I think that is where we want to go. Zambonin is showing nice brain.
We're going to talk about the second half. But he put in a stint defensively, mate. Like there's one play where he like gets his giraffe legs going, and yes, and he covers a lot of ground to stop a 2-on-1. Like he covers a lot of ground on the drift.
I think we can go there more than Favretto 5. I think we can go, because I don't know. I think Favretto can play really well with Ruzza, like what he's doing, Cannone, that kind. He's still so young, and also I'm gonna highlight this because we use at least 4 men as jumpers. If we use at least 3 jumpers, plus we put at the end Favretto, Cannone, Ruzza, and Vincent. But we use really well as a bite for them Ruzza, because everybody was expecting Ruzza. We were analyzing how the lineout goes, who is the main focus of the lineout is always Ruzza. So we had those kind of variations on the same sullo stesso spartito mic when you play some instruments, no, on the same thing you can have variations. So I like it.
I'm gonna ask you a question, Otto, right? So just on the point that the boys are making in the chat, for you, is the summer the time to experiment with the intention of having a settled team in the autumn to play, you know, some pretty big tests, right? If Georgia's been confirmed, if New Zealand's been confirmed, obviously we got some bad blood there as well. We're going to try and right some wrongs, right? So for you, is it focus on the summer to make changes and then understand who our best team is going into the autumn? Or for you, is it use the summer and the autumn, you know, for preparation for the tournament, which is the Six Nations? Like, what is it for you?
I think we can use the summer to test some players without the pressure of a Six Nation, but with the pressure to play away, because maybe situation like that can be harder, but it's different than the pressure of a Six Nation. And what brings a Six Nation media, but also no Tifo, our fans, Tifos in general. So that is for me the big, big thing about this, what can happen this summer. We can, of course, we know some of those players, but it's going to be interesting. But, and then I'm going to add to that, I hope we're going to see the under 23 keep playing the Italian selection or under 23 during this summer or maybe this autumn, because we need those kind of players to be exposed to some kind of level.
Yeah.
We need them to. The Rizzoli and Manfredi that are not playing now with the national team, if they're not going to play for us during the summer, they have to play with the under 23. They have to be there.
Did you watch the England A game? Not just to.
I watched a few actions of that.
So I'm not, obviously we're not going to go into too much. Style. Yeah, but it really made me understand a lot about some of the players. Obviously, the level that they were playing, like candidly, was pretty poor. But there were some players that really stood out, like Charlie Atkinson. Always thought could be a very good test player, or
Kylo Rangenfield.
Even the Newcastle boy, what's his name?
Blemeyer, Radwan.
No. The back row that's been smashing tackles.
Guy Pepper.
He had such a so for them, right? These are fringe players. You start looking at Italy A again and have them have a, you know, tier two tour, and let so we can start, like you said, start understanding a little bit more about players. How do they, you know, how do they play abroad?
Align them on the national team ideas and principle of play in attack and defense. That is the only way you can.
And, yeah, spot on. So they can just fit in, right?
We can call it under 23. We can call it emergenti. We can call it Italia A. I'm talking about that because with the under 23, Italy under 23, we saw also player of 25, 26 years old into that team. So it's just a name, but we can put whatever we want into that. So let's see. Let's see what's going to happen. And this summer, then we're going to see where it's going. Should we go back on the second half, Mike?
Let's do it. There's a lot to talk about, mate. There's a lot to talk about. So.
Second half, Mike. You want me to start?
Okay. So, obviously, like you said, tale of two halves. There was a point where we had to show some heroism in defense and some steeliness in defense. And then, you know, we took them to the sword, right, a little bit in the second half. I know it took, you know, the best part of 30 minutes for us to break them, but we were playing some really nice attacking rugby, marred with, again, the odd mistake, handling error, and giving them an opportunity at set piece to try and sort of get possession again. But I really, really like the fact that they had to make some early substitutions, because they thought they were going to score all their points in the first 20, 30 minutes and our heads were going to go down, right?
Yeah, when early that didn't happen, changes.
Yeah, they were forced early changes because they had 14 men. So typically you'd want them to stay on for a little bit longer and then get fresh legs, but they couldn't because they felt the pendulum swing. The fans felt the pendulum swing. Stunned silence. And then, like you said in the post-match, them singing La Marseillaise, like right at, you know, twice right at the start because they're trying to galvanize the team because they had nothing. They were stunned.
Absolutely.
That for me was satisfying. That for me was what sort of epitomized the second half quite nicely, because it didn't go their way and we bent their will. It wasn't they were making mistakes because they were playing poorly. Like, we were forcing those mistakes. We were forcing those poor decisions. Like Jalibert crossfield kicks and stuff were ridiculous. Sorry, Alexis just picked up. Sorry, guys.
It's funny. Look, I'm going to add to that. France did 5 changes in the first 8 minutes of the second half. But before the 50 minutes, they already did 5 changes. I'm going to tell you, they put Legarek in for Luku as the last change. And Rumah for Woki, Aldegheri for Antonio, Movaka. So they changed the full front row really early, because they came in with Tuilagi, out Muvaka, Antonio, Woki, Luku. So all these guys were out in the first 10 minutes of the second half.
It's because they were trying to play the power game against us, right? Those boys had carried a lot.
Yes.
So,
and yeah, they were hoping to like, I did my job, now let's go play, no? Something like that. No, didn't happen. I'm so sorry for you. Désolé, je suis désolé.
That's mon frère.
Si, extra désolé. We went in the second half. We score with 10 minutes before the end of the game with Ange Capuozzo. Ange Capuozzo is the guy that scored most try for Italy since his debut for Italy in 2022. So he's like the top player for us to score tries, I can say, at least for that specific point, try scoring. But we saw in general in the second half, like, really well played by Zuliani when he came in. I mean, the last penalty we got was something we were expecting from Zuliani since the first game of the Six Nations, no? Putting the hands, turnover, penalty for us, and then arrive at the end. So we saw that. We saw Varney playing well, I think. Was really hard to play against Penaud on that side, but in general, he played well. Who else? We didn't see Canali. Ferrari came in.
Ferrari was
take position and fight.
Just even on the R-try, he's the one that does the round the back pass, right? Like he's the one that takes the ball unexpectedly and Menangello goes through, right? That was off him, right? So even his link play was nice. He is a man that hasn't played rugby for months. And he comes in against like a top test team and starts winning penalties at the scrum, starts tackling his heart. Mate, he was amazing. Marin coming in, doing amazing. Like,
nice man.
He does. We've said it before. He's a killer, mate. He's an absolute killer. If he wasn't playing rugby, he'd be Dexter. Be wrapping people up in cereal, clean film. He'd be out murdering people, mate. That man is an absolute killer. What an absolute beast to have on the bench. And mate, like, you can tell he's hungry for a position, isn't he? He puts his hand up nice and high.
Here they're saying also, did the monster clear out? Yes, because we were able to do a two-man's rack in the 22 in that. Yeah. And I love how Carnone look around and then he decided to attack too. Probably a little bit underrated in this game, Carnone, but he did a really, really good job in everything he did. Another player that came in the second half, which is Lucchesi, after a huge performance from Nicotera. Lucchesi is the player with more turnover tackles and more turnovers for us. So we have also that one.
And that fake play off the
defense, Claudio. When we say D is defense.
Yeah, so defense. Yeah. That false play off the back of the mall. Oh man, that's so funny. But also, like, it would have worked if for whatever reason, right? I think it was Lamar at the back, right? If someone ran a short ball there, on the open. Like he drew that defender miles away. He drew that pillar miles away, but it probably would have got called up because obviously it's illegal. But it's funny as hell.
Was a barbarian's style of play. That.
Oh, for sure. It was beautiful though. Like, and it was just
Sparta under that.
Yeah, it was the pure joy in his face as well as he was doing. Oh man, just that for me again was a lovely, lovely little memory of this game. That's one that I'm going to hold dear to me.
Not now, Claudio. Just saying, not now. We can say, sadly, fall the ball from the team. I can say that. Sadly, fall. But let's bring it on.
Yeah, no, I think as well, right? We spoke about Varney. I think Garbisi definitely deserves a shout-out.
The eye of the tiger, Garbisi.
Wonderful. I put a little post out on Fratelli di Rugby Twitter where they were showing them at the tunnel at the end of the game. Like, he's heartbroken, man. Like, he's genuinely, like, what the words that he says about him taking full responsibility, he holds that deep. You can see that, like, in his face. He's literally just, like, heartbroken. And people need to remember, obviously, he's 23 years old. And he's achieved a lot in, you know, his short playing career. But yesterday he was just, he was just different. It was just different gravy, wasn't he? His kicking was brilliant.
The defense, Mike. The way
his decision making as well. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One year of defense at 12 helps so much, tickling everything, even Antonio.
He was like another flanker. He genuinely was like another flanker. I think if Baz had put in something like that, or if, like, you look at some of the top tens in the world put a defensive shift like Garbisi put in yesterday, people would be saying, Jesus Christ, fair play. Look at this kid, right? Like, it's the fact that, you know, it's Garbisi. Hopefully he finds some confidence in how he played, and we see more of this Garbisi, because we need this Garbisi if we want to win games, you know?
Look, Garbisi is the fourth player for tackles in the Italy team. Lamaro 64, Cannone 48, Brex 40, Garbisi 40.
Yeah, Joe. Yeah, we literally were speaking about young Ross. And actually, now we're talking about the second half, we can talk about a little bit more about his attacking intent. I don't know if you watched the English punditry, but when he was on the ball, and even that 10 meter tap, and he is quick, man. He eats up meters. Like, I genuinely thought they weren't 10. I genuinely thought, like, when he got tackled, they weren't 10. He just eats up meters. He is so quick. He could genuinely play on the wing. Like, you know, Jake Pelledri in his prime, Gloucester got injuries and they played him out on the wing. Man, he's that sort of quick. So, man, I was very impressed, Joe, with his first start test.
Of course, with that logo, he's really happy, and he saw him every week as a huge fan, I can say there. But he looks like he has a little Vespa under him, with ready to bring pizzas all around. I think I should make some meme with him. I have to try to make something with a Domino Vespa there. Domino's, if you want to send a couple of pizza here, happy to eat it, right? We're here anyway.
So. Oh, no, we have to eat pizzas. Oh, God. Oh,
we have to eat pizza. We have to drink sodas or some beer. Crap.
Oh, crap. Mate.
My diet is gone.
Anyway, guys, if for you guys who are listening, if you don't mind giving us a quick like, because obviously this will help us with the algorithm a little bit as well, and we'll get more people in the chat, because we love it when it's like this and it's popping off. So if you don't mind, you've got a couple of seconds, give us a like for my unscrupulous suggestion. But gents, really enjoyed this discourse, so keep it up. Menoncello, we haven't even spoken about Menoncello.
Because we live.
Do we need this... to? Do we have to like cut a little bit of the podcast?
Just lasciamo, no, lasciamo il dolce alla fine, just the good stuff at the end. After a good first half, after a good second, so we got a good piece of we got a pasta, we got the meat. Now we can think about the sweet stuff, right?
Yeah. So, he killed a man. He killed a man. But we'll leave that. We'll leave him. We'll give Menoncello the segment he deserves at the end, like you said. But one thing I want to say is I know obviously in our chat they were speaking a little bit about some of the player scores and all that stuff, right? They were talking a little bit about. Now I don't think there was a bad player on the pitch for Italy. I've got to be honest. I don't think there were some players who. Maybe made a couple of mistakes, but they would net positive in my eyes. They did more good than they did bad. I think, you know, if you take a lot, if you haven't watched the match and you just read like the ratings, and take them with a pinch of salt, okay?
Yeah, my opinion, ratings are always something really, really
subjective.
They're good. They're subjective. They're good just to chat and to create engagement.
Yeah,
my opinion. Yeah. Because you can talk like, oh, why that guy had 6.5 instead of 6? Why that is 5 is not a 6? Why is a 7 is not a 6? No, so that's my opinion. Who wasn't like really good, but probably for opportunity to shine, but still good? I think, for example, Mori had a good game, but not a lot to show in some areas.
Yeah, so I think
there's probably on another side, maybe didn't show the best of him, like a couple of steps that he did during the last couple of games, really good, but still they were good because this is, as you said, the only guy that we cannot give a vote, a number is Canali, because didn't came in the field, but the rest of
that was an odd decision, though. No,
I thought maybe there was some issues about some player not be completely 100%, and probably they did it until the end of the game.
Oh, I see.
I thought that maybe was why double, also because he is really big carrier, and worst case scenario, Ruzza was passing to be the 6 in case something happened to the other players in the back row. Zuliani can go 7, Lamaro can go 8 if something happened to Vincent, or if some of the players in the back row needs a change, he's the other guy that can go back there.
Yeah, I think that's
why I was thinking that way. The situation Zambo Canali can work together if something was going to happen to Cannone, but maybe for those reasons, but
no, I mean, it makes sense, right? Maybe, like you said, they were just waiting as cover if needs be, and also maybe Quesada was like, the balance of the game is too fine to have someone just come in at test level and be asked to perform. It was like quite, it was on the balance, right? And I don't think some players are molded by that and they play really well. Some players might, you know, maybe make a mistake and it could cost someone the game. And, you know, when we're talking a penalty either way, maybe he was like, okay, I'm just going to trust the players that are out there instead of putting pressure on a young prop to come, forward to come in and get up to speed in a game which is played at really high intensity and try not to make a mistake that could potentially be, you know, losing us a game by 3 points. So, I think it's interesting. Zilocchi was, I actually thought genuinely in the loose, he was brilliant. Like, I think two turnovers. Don't quote me. I definitely got one right at the start. Right?
I love the first turnover of the game from him, good. And the second came from Fischetti.
Fischetti, that was it. Yeah, I think he got one more. Don't quote me on that. I think he got one, but he was good in the loose. Like he was chop tackling everyone as well, and yeah, like Zielocki had. You look at the penalties against, right? And again, for me, it's always about net positive. If you want to make an opinion on a player, everyone's going to make mistakes, right? They're human. But it's how much did they contribute to the game? How much, you know, how many negatives versus positives did they? And he did, for me, a lot more positives than he did negatives in scrum. Just saying. Oh, Samuele.
Let me see, because I was looking at the stats that send... did you miss Tommy Allen? Always miss Tommy Allen.
I agree. I think he would have done a really good job, especially for some of the kicks, because he probably would have been taking the kicks. So, I think we probably did miss him a little bit.
Let me see. So, good players. So a couple of stuff here because I saw Paolo too. Shout out to you, Paolo. Another one in the chat. This game was, we saw some players really shine, really play well because they're used to this style of playing. Even Vincent, which is played not in top 14, but is used to play to high level, high pressure, always up, always standing, always... The backing the game has to be quick because in defense of not the defensive coach of Exeter is gonna kill you. Sporty, think about the way they have to play. No, so they know they are that kind of players that you want to see. So they were comfortable in that pressure. It's not something they never experienced. Like, oh my god, what I'm doing? No, they know what. What is a game like that? It's international, so it's another step. But then you see Capozzo, you see Ioane playing in that way, and they did well.
Yeah,
they know the way you have to play those games.
Yeah, and I think Ross actually he definitely showed some chiefs in like the multi-phase that he was trying to do at the pick and go at the in attacking rucks, like where he wasn't sure if there was anyone behind him and he didn't want to risk potentially losing the ball, he stood up and he kept strong and he was doing like those short pick and goes. And those of you guys who watched the game back, I watched Vincent very closely, and there was quite a few occasions where I, you know, maybe our support was like a half a second, maybe, you know, quarter of a second too slow, but he wasn't risking it because obviously he's quick and he was there like before anyone else. He just picks it up and takes responsibility. That from a 21-year-old man is impressive. That for a 21-year-old man, that is impressive just in club rugby, let alone against France at test level. And Joe's posted another loaded question.
Another button. Huge
call. Actually, this one is for you guys, right? Which one would you have? Ross Vincent or Lorenzo Cannone?
And Joe, as an Exeter fan, I'm a Gloucester fan, I have to tell you this, so I'm sorry. But would you like a player like Lorenzo Cannone at the Chiefs? Just a little question. So, Ross Vincent or Cannone, I can say both, of course. Ross forever for me, Cannone. They are different kind of players. So, they're not the same style of number 8, I think.
No, they're both very, very quick, though, aren't they? Like, but they are attributes. Really different. Yeah.
Yes. One looks huge, like Cannone looks huge. But we didn't see still. Can we pick based on the opposite? Lucio, this is. Yeah, Lorenzo's class. Okay. But like Simone is saying here, too. This is a tough one because both are really good. One is. He's hectic, kind of.
Busy, though. So deep. Busy.
Yeah. And the other one is crucial on some, like...
Attacking phase,
but some crucial... I always think, even with for Benetton, some crucial turnovers in the 22. Canon. I always think about that from counter-racking is huge as well. So I hope soon to see them together, maybe one at eight, one at six, if we need to. And Paolo, yes, Omar Mounim is the former coach of Nick Mallet, which now is there.
You know, it'd be interesting. You know how England had Sam Underhill and Tom Curry as the Kamikaze kids?
Right.
I wonder if we can get them like the Spaghetti Boys or something. I don't know.
Yeah, the Spags, the Rigatones.
The Domino's Pizza Boys.
The Pizza Boys. I like it. The Pizza Boys.
Joking aside, like, that we were talking about, for those of you guys who've just joined, we're talking about the summer and experiment. That's an experiment I'd pay to see. That, do you know what I mean? Having those two just basically like spare wingers playing back row, just go ahead, boys. Go ahead. Oh, you want to sit on the wing? Yeah, why not? You sit on the wing.
Go and shine.
Menoncello come in and pat down. Don't worry, you want to sit on the wing? Yeah, fine. We got but yeah, mate, they're exciting players, mate. They're so exciting.
Look what couple of names they put: Fitzharding and Pierre Spies. Ooh, Cannone. I hope he's gonna last more than Pierre Spies, first of all. And I hope he's gonna get bigger than Pierre Spies.
Yeah, Ross is very rounded, though. I think that's a fair comment. I think if we're looking at like if we needed almost like a utility back row, Ross is probably more of a utility back row than I'd say Zuliani, or like, because obviously I think he could play across the way.
So here we have so who's gonna be the next who we want to go, I don't know, to Subway, to Domino, to Pizza Hut. We want Odiase at Pizza Hut now. David Odiase at Pizza Hut.
Rude not to. Let's call his agent.
Boturi at McDonald's. Something like that.
Yeah.
We are talking about the fact that Poletti used to work at Subway, as Simone said here. And the moral of the story, as ACTC saying, work for a fast food chain to play in the Italy back row. So if you're playing and if you have a future, a bright future, young guy with pimples on your face.
It's one of the requirements.
On your hands. It's one of the requirements.
Yeah, to play for Italy, you're going to have to do time in a fast food joint.
Yeah.
Going back to the game, we spoke about, you know, everyone sort of very briefly. We spoke about Capuozzo, we spoke about Marin, spoke about Garbisi. I think as well, Fisco. Do we just expect him to do what he does now? We talk about the unsung hero. Is he, or just expect him to be the unsung hero because he's, you know, a guy that works really, really hard? He's a busy, busy forward.
You know, probably you're right. Probably he is the unsung hero of the game. I think Fischetti.
Just like, do we just expect it from him? Do you know what I mean? Like, is he just that class?
Just because you pointed out, I'm so happy that he's gonna stay another couple of season at Zebre. So it means there is a project going on at Zebre, and they're building up on their best, and that's huge. Having Fischetti other 2 years, that's huge. Congratulations for the achievement, for the contract, for him, and of course, big Jake Ferrari.
Yeah,
2028. So
two leaders there as well, right?
No, absolutely, two leaders. Let's see here what they're saying. Luca, best thing of the game is the rising challenge for a shirt on the field. Agree. Spagnolo was great too. Yes, Mr. Quasimodo was huge in the way he came in. Man, he's wide.
I didn't realize how wide he was until we put those white shirt on. That wasn't flattering for him, my friend. He is a wide man.
Man, the gelataio shirt make everybody big. The white. Don't. If you are big, Don't put a white shirt. Mate, because if not, you're going to be a big ice cream.
I think that's why we started winning scrums. He's like, jeez.
Oh, I was thinking, that's why I always wear black stuff, blue stuff. I was...
Christopher Ridley was like, we talk about CeCe being a fridge. He's like, you park this truck. Oh my God, it's a human. This man in front of him is just like three times the width of him. Like, hey, Claudio, we've got a designated Menoncello segment. Don't worry, my friend.
Yes, we're going there. Mamma mia. So huge, that guy. He's like man. Already to Pasquale.
Right. He isn't. Pasquale's not a narrow man either, my friend.
That's
right. No, you're right. We spoke about him a while ago, right? About how good he was at, you know, URC level. I mean, he's just getting better and better and better, isn't he?
He doesn't care. He doesn't have emotions, that guy. He don't feel the pressure.
Just, yeah, again, killer. Shall we go to
Lord and Savior? To number 14. To the number 14. The guy that smashed Lebel as supposed to before the game.
Sent Fiku packing as well.
Sorry, mate. 1 second. So, I have the answer to this. What does Pozzuolo looks like in a white tee? Should I put the... I have the answer to that. One second, then I have it. So, you know who is Stay Puft Marshmallow? You know who is that? No.
All right. I thought you were going to put the Michelin Man on, but
no. Have you seen Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
You remember Ghostbusters? Okay.
The Michelin Man. Is that not the same person?
No, they're a little bit different. You see?
Oh right. Okay. I got you.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Yeah, they're a little bit different.
This is Jesus.
I'll say it to his face.
Jesus. So this is the Mr. Pozzuolo in white.
Yeah, mate. He's credit to him as well. 19 years old, man. Hips. Pasquale should be the unit of measurement for Italian props. So he's about three Pasquale.
Three Pasquale or two Pasquale? What's the...
A Pasquale in the heart.
Mamma, un Pasquale e mezzo.
I love that.
You know, Mr. Robert, I don't know stuff.
Yeah. So let's talk about Tommy, because there's so many, like moments that we can talk about. So I'll let you go first, right? Which was your favorite Tommy moment of the game?
So I think the first on Lebel, the first big carry, like, don't worry, I'm going to push you back. That probably was one. The second one, we were just chatting before the game. So, skill-wise, that reverse pass behind the back after that forward pass of Capuozzo, what he did there, like, was, oh my God, he did it. So that was something that shocks me. It was that for the skills, but for defense and aptitude, that situation, the first tackle. So I said, I'm here. You shall not pass. Just to mention somebody else in white.
Yeah, mate. He was imperious.
And these two, yes, Robert, yes.
Tomorrow that's probably my favorite. I've got to be honest. There's two main moments. One, obviously, where Jalibert took it to the line and he let him know that you can't take it to the line when I'm around.
And like then, Mutombo style. No.
Yeah. Or Negri on Faz last year. Like, if you're going to take it to the line against me, I'm going to take it, right? But the second one was he sent Fiku to the shadow realm with that tackle. He sent him packing. He, like, the guy was on skates. And we're talking about Gael Fiku. Do you know what I mean? It's not. We're talking a 21-year-old guy taking Gael Fiku on a bit of a journey. So I'm really impressed with his defensive performance. I thought he was exceptional. I thought people were trying to avoid him when they were trying to attack on the wing. And then his meandering runs when he came inside with Monty, I just thought he was brilliant. I thought he was absolutely brilliant.
He sent Fiku back to 2014 when no one knew where he should be playing.
Yeah.
That is crazy. So would you like to see him 12, 13, 14, 17, 15, 1, 7? Where you want to put him? Because I know Phantom wants to put it at 13 because he doesn't want to Brex there, but we know the story there.
That and he wants Liner on the pitch.
You want it in the pitch?
I would have him anywhere on the pitch, right? I want to say that without an ounce of irony, right? Would wing be my number one choice? No. But would I be upset if I saw him on the wing? No. Would I see him, like, would I be upset if he's fit and he's not on the wing? Fit and not playing? Yes, right? So it's different horses for different courses. If we're looking at Scotland, right?
Oh, who's he going to be? Point.
Right. Who's he going to be defending against in Scotland? Carl Steyn?
Or Van der Merwe?
Van der Merwe is 14, right? Is he 11?
Oof. No, but in general, I can...
Either or. Two big South Africans, right? Like, it doesn't really matter. Doesn't really matter which... Like, they're both big, quick South Africans, right? Do I want to see a player...
Scott Africans, we have to say.
Scott... Okay, all right, yeah, fine. Scott Africans, right? Yeah.
11, of course, he's the 11.
Okay, so perfect. He's 11. So here's the question to you then, Otto. Would you rather have Menoncello defending Doohan, or would you prefer to have Liner, Bruno? Like, who else plays the right?
Oh, on that side, I'm okay even with...
Pani.
With you, but no, I'm good with Johan on one side, on Van der Merwe side, but he came a lot to play in the field.
Doohan plays 11, so before.
Sorry, play 11. I'm okay with Menoncello.
That's what I'm saying. So here's a question to you guys in the chat: like, if not Menoncello at 14, who would you play against Doohan? Bearing in mind he scored a hat trick against England.
Transition, set piece, supporting player, post line break and try, power. So, I mean, player that knows how to play. One of
and
the
he's
best.
Quick.
It's quick and it's big, Johnny Bravo.
Liner can cope.
Linag.
Okay. Listen, I wouldn't be upset if I saw him. But. My one thing I'll say with this, Phantom, so people, just for those of you guys who are listening, Liner can cope. Liner is a big boy. It's a big boy. And then there's possibly one of the most in-form, big wingers, quick, powerful, at least of like the last 3 or 4 years. I can't think of a more prominent, maybe Penno. But do you really want to have Liner step up against someone like that and just lose absolute confidence if it goes wrong, right? Is that what we're saying here? Like, we'd rather transition a player that's never played test rugby against one of the best wingers in the world?
Here I'm gonna see I'm gonna show Lineg is a big boy. If we had Odogo, we could have played him for center, Menoncello, Ioane, but we were good. Pani on the wing, and
Odogwu would have been interesting, man.
Odogwu, yes,
yeah. Paolo, get better, mate.
But also rather Menoncello defensione to Pulotto rather than Mori. This is a this is smart because point, that man. Is a situation the way they move. Like we are seeing yesterday in Italian on my YouTube, but we are talking about how different is the way they play with Scotland, because they can switch completely. Hugh Jones really close to Montpellier. This looks like transfer rumors, but they can play 10, 12, 13, they can switch. Both of them, they can pass the ball a la Brex, okay? So front and back pull. They can attack really hard, giving you the right angle to attack. And then
both pass. Have boots.
Both have boots, grabber kick, chip kick, and then they have Russell that can use the kicks like hands in the same way.
Lasers
so he can play a couple of cross kick to move, and then he's gonna play deep. Or maybe he's gonna throw this flat long pass because he has those skills too to take off from our defense a couple of players and put the player into space, because that is probably the best thing that Russell has, put players into space. So it's complicated because something can change in the next game. Think about the quality of Scotland. France doesn't have that quality, or at least they don't show that kind of quality when they play.
Yeah, I assume we're going to do another sort of preview next week, so we'll keep it short on Scotland, but you got to assume that they were quite interested in this game against us, and I wonder how much they're going to start maybe making a decision who plays where to try and counteract some of our attacking threats ourselves. So it's going to be interesting to see. I suppose if you were in Gregor's shoes, like, what would you look at from us as like, oh God, that we could get hurt here?
I think the way they want to play is to create chaos because we are really short in defense, so probably they want to kick, create chaos, and move fast on the other side. Double layer is like one pod and then move the ball, and they try to isolate our 13. That is going to be their job, to put a couple of players to run. King Gordon is going to be one of them. We have to be really careful with him too, because he's another one with six. Yeah, he's playing so good. I wasn't expecting him to play so well in the last couple of 1 year and a half. I was thinking was good, but not so good. And now he looks good.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to go King Horn against us almost certainly.
King Horn, I think.
Because he can kick.
Mm-hmm. So who are you going to play 9-10? Paul is asking, Mike.
Fame broke.
Pajelo and Gerbisi. Yes, I agree. I agree.
I like Varney with less pressure off the bench. I think that's what he needs to build confidence. Like, for me, again, like, Varney isn't a, you know, Varney at his best for me is still our number one choice, right? As in, like, he does stuff that maybe some of our other scrum halves can't, but Pedro Lowe was brilliant. He needs to be rewarded. Like, he needs to be rewarded, and fair play if they manage to get some sort of symbiotic relationship between like him and Garbisi, and they have, you know, this understanding. I think absolutely let them play. Like, until it breaks, we don't fix it, you know?
No, I agree. Paolo, good shot. That was a crazy game, man, because I think we were 50-40, something like that ends, but he was able to do a lot of good stuff, Finn Russell, in that game. We're talking about the Bristol against Bath game, where Bristol at the end win really, really, really well that game. But yes, they put a lot of pressure on him, so we have to try that. The fact is that the 12 at 13 of Bath, they're not the 12 at 13 of Glasgow Warriors.
And that's the problem, isn't it?
That is Paolo. That's why they can move really well. If we had players able with the hands, I was saying yesterday, Tupulo to Bundeaki, huge blocks, but with really soft hands, we were top with some of our players has to develop that decision making under pressure too. So in that way, Brex can Brexit, no?
Brex can Brexit, yeah.
Brexit.
I'm with you.
Not yet. We're going to arrive there.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And I think as well, right, I don't think we change too much with the team. I think we get sort of a settled team. Hopefully there's no injuries. I didn't see anyone struggling too much, but yeah, I think it's one of those. Did you see any injuries? Did you see anything of concern?
Not yet. Only Jalibert for France, but it's because he and his Six Nation against us.
Yeah. So do we know how bad that is? Or
I just saw a couple of Instagram pictures, so I have to check again about that.
Get well soon, mate.
Yeah, but let's see if we go back with the Yakitsi, if it's going to be another shot to Mr. Spilungone. Mr. Spilungone is Favretto.
Oh, okay. Right. I didn't get that one. Was he? Is it because he's tall? Yeah.
He's all stingy. You see, like how it is? He's all like
gangly. Stingy. Gangly. Yeah,
those pointy knees, you can see him like completely.
Luca with like a really
You know, the only why I'm worried, Luca, because this week they play like a friendly match, let's say. There was Sarras and Leinster. He wasn't playing, so I thought, like, if he's not playing this, maybe I don't know how good, but hey, if he's gonna come back, him and Ferrari, we have three available props with something that we want think about also. Two games, we still can wait. I mean, we don't want to put in a rush everything, but Shout out to Zilocchi because he's playing really well. The white boar. Hope Ceccarelli is gonna be back soon, because the Ceccarelli Skoman situation, it's funny because they love to play each other. Rangy, how you read this?
Rangy.
Okay.
As in range, he has lots of range. He's rangy. Can grab those hands, from a mile, right? Yeah, that's what he's saying.
He's gonna be Dalsim from Street Fighter soon. He's gonna be in one of them.
Mr. Tickleworms.
Yeah, all tattooed, young dad. But anyway, Mike.
Right.
We're almost doing the post-game pod longer than the game itself. So
Yeah. We should probably wrap up, in fairness. But guys, before we go, comment, like, let us do all of that good stuff. Again, the engagement's been great, and it's getting so much better, and we love doing these. So yeah, guys, appreciate you guys.
And I'm happy to have spent another Monday with you, Mike. This was a good Monday, because it's not something that happened every time to draw. This was the best. Yeah. Our best result in France ever since the starting of the Six Nations. The second best result after the win of 1997 in Grenoble.
In France.
And we're back in the top 10 for, I don't care about ranking, but let's say that too, we are in the top 10 again. We passed the Fiji.
Okay.
Long may continue. That's true. So Mike, thank you, and thank you all the 30 people that were connected live with us today. See you next Monday. See you next game, of course, and go check our Instagram, Twitter, and everything. We're going to put something else new, and who knows, maybe it's going to come some new special pod before the next game. Just put in a couple of words there. Who knows? Let's see.
Maybe
yes, maybe not. I'm still thinking about Marshmallow Puff Twilaggi. My hand.
Oh, man. He will eat you. He will literally come and eat you, my friend.
Oh, no. Look, I have last question.
Shoot.
The Ninja Turtles. There are four.
Yeah.
Who are the four Ninja Turtles of Italy?
Well, one's got to be Spagnolo. One's got to be Fischetti.
Spagnolo and Fischetti, okay. I think Michelangelo one and Donatello, no, Michelangelo, the orange one is Fischetti.
Yes. Then,
Spagnolo is the Raffaele.
Raffaele? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. He's got a bit of Raffaele about him, isn't he?
Okay. Then Nicotera is saying ECTC, which makes sense.
I think that's fair.
Man, all front rowers, eh?
It has to be.
And then?
Who's
going to be Leonard?
I mean, I would say maybe...
Garbisi.
You think Lucchesi, I was thinking, but...
Lucchesi is Leonardo, all time trying to remember 25 years.
Actually, Lucchesi would be Michelangelo with that stupid, with that like fake play, screaming at that. That was... Anyway, that's something that... just,
Okay, new meme to make. The Ninja Turtles.
Perfect. Love it, right. Guys, I love you and leave you.
And go watch the Ninja Turtles. Let's talk about pizza. You know who's gonna bring the pizza to the Ninja Turtles?
Ross. I've already called, mate. Domino's on the way. He's banged up, he's bruised from playing, but he's bringing me my pizzas, bless him. So Ross, love you, mate. Good to have you on the pod as well. For those of you guys who haven't listened, have a little listen.
And one anchovy pizza for me. Thank you, everybody.